Welcome to the Girls That Strap podcast, a podcast sharing the stories of inspirational females in STEM. Coming on to the Girls That Strap podcast. We're so excited to have you here.
Of course. Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here.
So to start the episode off, why don't you introduce yourself?
Of course. I'm Selin. I'm an 18-year-old gender equality activist joining from Istanbul, Turkey. I'm focusing on sustainable development goal 4 and 5, which are equal access to education and gender equality. I am the youngest representative of UN Women's Global Gender Equality Movement, He for She, and also one of the 300 young activists who were chosen by the United Nations to become gender youth activists. And as national gender youth activists, we are basically representing our country, but like the youth voices in our country on a UN level, I would say.
That's amazing. And so the next question is, why did you start Girl Up Istanbul?
Yeah, so Girl Up is a campaign started by United Nations Foundation, basically like around a decade ago. And Girl Up's mission is to help girls build leadership skills and also to provide them a safe space where they could advocate for their passions. And Girl Up basically like provides you the tools to become the best leader possible, which is amazing. And I am the founder of the first Girl Up Club in Turkey, Girl Up Istanbul. And we have founded around 6 or 7 months ago, I believe. And as Girl Up Istanbul, we're trying to focus on the social construct and taboos and social barriers and education, like I would say different aspects, and we're trying to focus on different topics and issues and provide a more global and diverse perspective.
Again, that's amazing. Girl Up Istanbul is just really cool and amazing.
Thank you so much.
So currently in Girl Up Istanbul, what are some projects and initiatives that are taking place?
In Girl Up Istanbul?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would like to introduce our latest project, which I'm super, super proud of. So Girl Up Istanbul was officially launched during lockdown, during the first quarantine. So those were the times where we realized the importance of education, because that was a moment, you know, when many people came to the conclusion that we do not have equal access to education, because we do not have the same access to like internet or like technology and devices, etc. So as Girl Up Istanbul, we wanted to start a project where we could focus on education. But education does not only mean girls being in classrooms, or education does not only mean being good at math and doing science, etc. So there are so many taboos in society, so many gender-based taboos, and so many like challenges and social barriers, and education could be used, and we should use it to kind of raise awareness towards those issues and to educate people. So as Girl Up Istanbul, we have started a new project where we have partnered up with youth-led organizations around the globe. And we have launched 3 different booklets, and on 3 of them we try to focus on different topics. For example, we have focused on mental health, and we have focused on FGM on a global scale, and we have focused on catcalling, and street harassment. So with those booklets, we try to kind of explain the myths and just share the facts and kind of provide data, and also share information regarding what you can do to take action. And what was important for us was amplifying youth voices, of course, since we are young change makers ourselves. So to kind of amplify that, I guess, we have partnered up with youth-led organizations, and with that we also try to kind of provide the, how can I say, like, concrete information and the facts.
So what is the most important thing you have learned from starting Girl Up Istanbul?
I think so many things, honestly. But I think the most important thing for me was, I sometimes still am, but I always try to do things on my own. I refuse to, you know, ask for help, because I'm trying to be like, you know, this strong boss lady. For a very long time, I always refused to ask for help or like ask for advice, and I was claiming that I could be my best version possible, just being like, you know, just overworking and overwhelming myself. So with Girl Up, Girl Up is such an amazing community and a sense of sisterhood, and you know that there are literally thousands of young girls from all across the globe who are there for you and who will be there for you no matter what. And they are there to support you, because we really do rise by lifting each other up. And I know that I will have their love and support no matter what. So it is such a unique experience and a unique feeling. And I think one of the most important lessons I have learned from Girl Up is definitely I don't have to do everything on my own. It is so okay to ask for help, because, like, circling back, we rise by lifting each other up.
I completely agree. So the next question is, who do you look up to as a role model?
There are so many amazing, brilliant women I look up to, but 100% Michelle Obama. She's just amazing. Like, do I even have to, like, explain myself? Like, Michelle Obama, period. And also, of course, I am a huge, huge, huge Harry Potter fan. Like, I'm just obsessed with Harry Potter. So, of course, Emma Watson is a huge role model, and also Malala Yousafzai and Lady Diana. I think she's just so amazing, and she's so unique, and she was so ahead of her time, and I just really, really respect and admire that.
Yeah, all of them are just amazing role models. You know, Michelle Obama and Emma Watson, they're just amazing.
They are.
So, could you tell us a little bit about the Girls Who Code movement and why you got yourself involved in the Girls Who Code movement?
Of course. So, I think being an activist day by day, you find more things that has to be changed. And to be honest, I was never involved in the STEM field. I don't like technology. I don't like robotics and coding. I can't even use Instagram, or like, I'm terrible at Twitter. I always like make fun of myself and just joke about like I was born in the wrong century. But as I said, like being an activist day by day, you find more things that has to be changed. And one of the things I came across was the STEM field. And I have realized the disproportion of females and males in the STEM clubs or STEM-related extracurricular activities, even in my own school. And we have terrific robotics and coding teams in my school. And despite the fact that they are beyond successful, girls most of the time hesitated to join the clubs. And even if they did join the clubs, they didn't want to get out of their comfort zone, and they just wanted to stick with the PR team instead of, you know, just exploring the robotics and coding side. So realizing that, I wanted to take action, and I got in touch with my school's robotics team. And with their support, I have brought the Girls to Code movement to Turkey. And as the first Girls to Code club in Turkey, we have visited public schools. We had visitors to our own school. And we have visited different campuses. And we aim to teaching the basics of coding to young girls, and to show them how much fun science can actually be, you know, with experiments or with robotics and with coding and with, like, we try to show them the different aspects of the STEM field. And we also hosted workshops and conferences and even like career planning days for eighth graders, which was an amazing, amazing opportunity. And actually, starting from next week, we will be having a workshop/panel career planning day thing. I'm not sure what we have decided to call it yet, because it's going to be like a 3-week long schedule where we will be having one of the like most brilliant women from the STEM field in Turkey. We're just beyond excited for that. And it's like such an honor to be able to have those women as our guests, and we will be having virtual discussion panels and workshops, and we're super excited for that.
Sounds awesome.
Thank you.
So, while we are on the topic of activism, could you tell us about your journey as an activist?
Yeah, 100%. So, I would say since I was a little child, I was always interested in being a change maker and, you know, social barriers or like gender-based challenges and social construct. And I knew I wanted to do something, but I didn't really have the motivation to, you know, start up my work until one day, back then my 6-year-old little brother told me during dinner very casually that I didn't really have to worry about school, and, you know, if I couldn't get into a good college or if I didn't have a good job, I could just simply get married and my life would be so easy, and I was super lucky in that sense. And I remember how shocked I was, like, of course, because there are no such, like, you know, examples like that in my circle or in our family. So I was very shocked to see how, like, normalized these stereotypes are and how much they're in our lives that it can even affect a 6-year-old thought structure. And that was a moment when I said, okay, like, this has to be changed, and I'm going to be the one who changes it.
So again, while we're still on the topic of activism, could you tell us what a gender youth activist is?
So I have briefly mentioned this during my little introduction, But so United Nations UN Women's country offices has elected or nominated activists who were fighting for gender equality. And I had the honor and privilege to be elected as one of those 300 young activists around the globe. And at the moment, we're working like very closely with UN Women on their Generation Equality Forum and CSW. And basically, as National Gender Youth Activists, we are representing our countries, but most importantly, we are representing youth voices in our country on a global scale, on a UN level, which is a huge privilege, of course.
So, could you tell us also what is the Girls Who First movement and why did you start it?
Yeah, of course. So first is actually how can I say? So first itself is a robotics competition, and FRC means first robotics competition. So my school has an FRC team, as I have mentioned, where we have started Girls Who Code. But after starting Girls Who Code, we were trying to break gender-based barriers in the STEM field, blah blah blah. But being in the first community itself, we have realized how many stereotypes, like gender-based stereotypes, there were, even in the first community itself, where like thousands of people around the globe are working to break those barriers. So it was like very strange to us, of course. And we have realized that not only in our club, but like not in our team, but not in Turkey, but it was like a global problem. Girls couldn't get out of their comfort zones and pursue their passions because of those gender-based stereotypes. So it wasn't a team-based problem, but it was a global problem. And we have realized how girls in the first community, they were feeling alone, especially like girls who were on coding and who were on a mechanical, who were dealing with the mechanical stuff on the team. They were feeling alone and they weren't feeling comfortable to pursue their passions because, of course, like many girls could relate to this. Like, you don't want to be the only girl or like the only one who shares the same passion, So, to kind of take a step forward and help out these girls, we have started the Girls Who First movement, and it is actually a very simple movement, but the impact we had was mind-blowing. So to join the Girls Who First movement, you have to be in the first community, of course, and we have asked girls from the first community to post pictures of themselves while like doing something with the robot and coding and working on mechanical stuff, and we have asked them to share their photos on Instagram or like on Twitter with the hashtag Girls Who First. And we try to kind of build this community sense, and whenever a girl's feels like she's alone and she's like the only one, she can just search one like hashtag and she can see her sisters from all around the world who are like on the same boat as her, and but also who are like fighting for the same cause, which was like super important, and I thought it was like very valid. And such a unique experience. And as I said, it was like an only hashtag. So it was a very simple thing. But the impact we had was just, it was just so amazing and just wonderful to see how many girls actually participated, like how many girls actually needed this.
So while we are on the topic of movements, what is the He for She movement and how did you get involved?
He for She is a movement started by UN Women 5 years ago, and it is United Nations Global Solidarity Movement for Gender Equality. So the world is at a turning point, and people everywhere from all across the globe understand and support the idea of gender equality. And they know it's not just a women's issue, it's a human rights issue. And He for She is basically an invitation for both men, for women, and people of all genders to stand in solidarity with women, to create a bold, but also like visible and united force for gender equality. And I think what it's really, really important about He for She is that the men of He for She aren't on the sidelines, you know? They're working with women and with each other to build businesses and raise families and give back to their communities, which is so valid. And we are inviting everyone to commit to He for She and inspire millions of others to do the same.
So, as a female in STEM, what are some challenges that you have faced?
I actually would like to share one experience of mine, because I think it's going to be like enough to it's like such a concrete example, I would say. So when we have first started Girls to Code, we had, of course, like business meetings and sponsor meetings, and we had meetings with organizations and big companies. So one day we were going to a meeting with like a very famous company in Turkey, and there was me and I had two guy friends of mine who were there with me. And it was like a sponsorship meeting, and the moment when we stepped in, of course, the person who we were going to have the meeting with was a guy too, because, you know, he was in charge of the company. And unfortunately, like most of the time, people who are in charge, people who are the leaders of companies, they are males, which is an issue that we have to solve too, because there are still many, many gender based barriers and stereotypes in the workforce, and they're very much brushed under the carpet. And the moment when we stepped in, he was like delighted to see my two guy friends, and he immediately, like, you know, went up to them and he shook their hands and started talking with them, and he was telling them how bright they were and how smart they looked and how much he had faith in them. And he just completely ignored my existence, which was so like tragically funny to me, because I was there as the founder of the movement and I was the one who was being ignored. And I remember for the whole meeting he spoke to me like, I don't know, once or twice. It was beyond awkward, honestly, and even that shows how much
progress, we have to kind of, you know, take forward.
What advice do you have for girls who are interested in STEM but are scared of getting their feet wet?
So not only for STEM field, but to give like a general advice, just know that you're not alone. You're never alone. There are thousands of young girls and young women from all around the world who are sharing the same passions as you, who has like the same dreams as you, and who want to create change, who want to do something, who want to follow their passions, but they're scared because, circling back, the world that we live in, like the patriarchy, is real. But just remember that you are never alone, and as I have mentioned with he for she, world is at a turning point, especially with Gen Z. I think we're just, as Gen Z, we're brilliant. We're never afraid to speak up about the things that we're passionate about, and we are not afraid to share our like experiences and our own truths and our opinions, which is so important and which is so unique and valid. So just remember that the only thing that can stop you from achieving your dreams is yourself. And my motto, for example, is by Gandhi, which is be the change you want to see in the world. And whenever I feel like I'm not enough, whenever I feel low, I just remember that quote by Gandhi, and it just motivates me so much. It just gives me the power to pursue my work.
So the next question I have is, why is mental health so important?
I think mental health is one of those issues that we don't really know about. And there are like so many, again, myths about mental health, and people just assume many, many different things about mental health, but we don't have fully like knowledge about that. So that's why I think people are kind of struggling with it way more than usual, especially during these challenging times. But for me, mental health is my top priority because I tend to overwork, overload, and overwhelm myself with like everything I do, with school, with work, or anything. For a very long time, I could never say no. I would try to do everything and anything I could find, you know, the imposter syndrome was so real. So it was a huge challenge for me and for like my mental health. But now I have realized that as an activist, I'm trying to help people to be better. But if I cannot even help myself, and if I cannot feel better about myself, how can I help other people? And how can I inspire other people? So that's why I have like created this whole new theme for myself, Self-Care Sundays, like for a very long time. Like for a very, very long time, I would always make fun of Self-Care Sundays because I would just be like, why would you need like a break? Like, you know, break is for losers. Like, I don't need break. I'm Wonder Woman. Like, I can do anything. But it's not true. Nervous breakdown, it's real. And, you know, we like mental breakdown, it's real. Like, been there, done that, and it's not pretty. So, like around, I don't know when, but I believe during summer, I have started doing Self-Care Sundays where I'm not even kidding. I wake up like late, which is something I cannot do during weekdays. And while having my breakfast, I watch a movie that I like. Like, it doesn't even have to be a serious movie or like documentary. I like, you can watch Cinderella and Little Mermaid, like anything that makes you genuinely happy. And then, you know, I just love reading a good book and, you know, skincare routines like makeup and chit-chatting with your friends and family, like meditation, anything that makes you happy and that you put yourself at first, you know, you make yourself and your joy your top priority for the day. So I believe Self-Care Sundays has helped me so much to not have depression, severe depression, to be honest.
So while we were on the topic of books earlier, could you give us some book recommendations?
Of course. So I am a huge, but I'm not kidding, like a huge bookworm. My friends use me as a librarian because I'm just so interested in books, and I love them, I adore them. Like, if I can live without my phone and internet for years and years and I wouldn't care, but books, like, I cannot leave my books. Honestly, I always have a book with me no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing. Like, I always have a good book with me. So I can give many book recommendations. Would you like feminist books or like books that makes me happy or like inspirational books? I have every kind.
What about all three?
So for the feminist book, A Book of One's Own, I think that's what it's called, by Virginia Woolf. It is a spectacular book. It is just amazing. It's just, I don't know, it's just such a feminist, like, empowering book, and it just provides you a more diverse but also historical look at gender equality and feminism. So I think like everyone who is trying to have more information regarding being a feminist and gender equality, I think they should 100% read a book, A Room of One's Own by Virginia Woolf. And a book that inspires me, The Alchemist. It is my favorite book of all times. I love that book so much. It has changed my whole perspective and my whole mindset towards life. And I remember when I finished The Alchemist, I was a completely different person. I know, like, it may sound silly, but trust me, if you read it, if you have read it, like, you can relate to this. It's just a masterpiece. I really love The Alchemist. And in fact, I love it so much that I started gifting it to my close friends because I believe that it's a book that everyone has to read. And if they don't read it, if they haven't read it already, I am, like, gifting it to people. And a book that makes me happy, Harry Potter. It doesn't matter which one, like, any Harry Potter books, they're just too good. Too good to be true.
So while we're on the topic of Harry Potter, could you tell us your house?
Slytherin all the way. The best house? I really am, like, super ambitious and driven and cunning, and I took the house test too, like, on Pottermore, so it's not like you know, I'm a fake fan. No, I'm a real Potterhead and I'm a Slytherin, and I'm very much proud of that.
I will also have to agree with you there. Harry Potter is just, they're really good books.
They're just too good. It's not like, oh yeah, they're good books. No, they're not like just good books. They're just like spectacular. They're from another world. I just love them.
Yeah, I completely agree. So thank you for the book recommendations.
Of course.
And this, we were also talking about this earlier. So since you have experienced imposter syndrome, could you give some advice?
Yeah. So how I overcame my imposter syndrome is like, A, grow up. Of course, grow up has helped me so much. And B, Becoming by Michelle Obama. After I've read Becoming, and also after I have watched her documentary, I had the feeling that I had overcame my imposter syndrome. But also another thing that helped me a lot was just talking with my close friends who understand me and who are genuinely there for me. So just, you know, sharing my thoughts with them and just having their support, it has helped me so much. I have one thing. So anyone who is dealing with imposter syndrome, or just like genuinely people who need to hear this, sorry, let me rephrase. Was this grammatically correct? I'm not sure. Okay. For the people who are dealing with imposter syndrome, or for people who genuinely maybe need to hear this, why would you want to be someone else's replica instead? You could be your own authentic self. Like, that's what I always remember myself. It doesn't have to be about activism wise, or like, it doesn't have to be about one topic, but in general, like about social media, like about body types, or like, you know, face structure, like, or activism, or like friendships. Like, you can implement this to anything you want, like any topic, any issue, but the message remains the same. Like, why would you want to be someone else's replica? Instead, you could be your own authentic self. I think the worst thing you can do is trying to fit into a box.
I completely agree. So thank you so much for coming on the Girls Let's Chat podcast. We were completely inspired by words. You are completely amazing in all the work
that you've done. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and follow us on Instagram at Girls Let's Chat to get updates on when we release episodes. And again, thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.